First eight chapters in the book of Romans, and today we've come to chapter 6. So please, if you have your Bibles, turn with us and we're going to read from Romans chapter 6, and we're going to read the whole of the chapter, and Richard's going to come and do so for us.
Yeah, it's entitled in my version, Dead to Sin, Alive to God. I'll give you a chance to find it. Okay, what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who die to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like this, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like this. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one of us who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we've died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body to make you obey its passions. Do not present your members to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and your members to God as instruments for righteousness. For sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under law, but under grace. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves to sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting from that? From what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you've been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Thank you very much, Richard. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for your word and the reading of it. We thank you that even in that we hear what you're saying to us. Now in the words that I use, Lord, we pray that you would speak further to us. Speak to our very hearts through your Spirit, we pray. That we might hear from you, be transformed by you. In Jesus' name, amen. The short message of this morning is freedom from sin. So that's the message of this morning, is that we can be free from sin. That's the short version. So if you switch off now, you've heard the message. But if you want the slightly longer version, it's going to come in three headings. Freedom from sin, the theory. Freedom from sin, the practice. And freedom from sin, the results. So very simple. So if you're following along and you're making notes, it's firstly the theory, verses 1 to 10, the practice, verses 11 to 14, and the results, verse 15 to 23. Paul starts this chapter with a very strong link to what was before. He was talking about the grace of God bringing eternal life. So that's what he's talking as in chapter 5. And then he's talking about grace so much. And then in verse 1 of this chapter, he says, what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We died to sin. How can we live to it any longer? Paul recognizes that when you speak about grace, it is very easy to misunderstand. Any message of grace can easily be misunderstood because it can be seen as license, as freedom. And what Paul is wanting to make clear is that we should be speaking about grace, but it's no reason to go on sinning. Just because of God's grace, we don't go on sinning. Just because we've received forgiveness and that God has lavished his love on us does not mean that we can just carry on sinning. We were baptized into Christ. We were united with him in his death and also in his resurrection. And if we died with him, our old sinful self was done away with, and we are free from sin. Not only did we die with Christ, we were made alive with him, and we received a new and righteous self. So that's the theory. We died with Christ, and we were raised with Christ, and we receive a new self. So now to the practice. In verse 11 he says, in the same way, count yourself dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. The theory may sound all very well and good, but we all know that all too often that old sinful self rears its ugly head. So what do we do? We have been made alive in Christ. That's the theory, and I say it's the theory, it's not really the theory. That's the reality of it. But how do we say, make that reality, how do we put it into practice? Well, Paul has two imperatives. Count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God. And do not let sin reign, so you obey its evil desires. The first of these is reckon yourself dead to sin. So that word, reckon yourself, or consider yourself, or count yourself, that is, get your thinking sorted out. Think yourself dead to sin and alive to God. Get your mind sorted out. There is so much in Scripture that is about getting it sorted out in your mind. Recognize the reality of your situation, dead to sin, but alive in Christ. Get that into your thick head. That's what he's saying first. The second is a double action. Don't let sin reign, so you obey its evil desires. The first action is don't let sin reign. Make Jesus Christ Lord. He should be Lord of your life. You should be following him, letting his rule and reign inhabit your lives, not the reign of sin. And then the second part of that is don't follow those evil desires you have. We all have evil desires. And Paul says, don't let sin be the master, and don't follow the things that you want to do. Simple, but hard. And here we see that there is really the need to obey Christ rather than our sinful desires. And we do that simply by getting our head sorted, ensuring that Christ is King. And how do we do that in practice? One commentator says this: to guard against moralism, we must root out all of our obedience in those disciplines of the Christian life that put us in touch with God's own power, reading Scripture, worship, and prayer. As we dwell in Scripture, as we worship God, and as we pray, we will be rooted in Him, and we will find ourselves reigning with Him, obeying Him, and not following our evil desires. So that's the practice. And so, having seen the theory and the practice, what are the results? Verse 22. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. We have been set free from sin. And that's the good news. And the even better news is that we have become slaves to God. We aren't simply free to do what we want. We have been set free from the sin, but we are enslaved again. However, the results of this slavery are very different. The results of slavery to sin is death, but the results of slavery to God brings eternal life. Eternal life and a holy life. And Paul then, to ensure that his readers don't get the wrong end of the stick again, in just in case they thought they could earn eternal life by living a righteous and holy life, Paul concludes by saying this: for the wages of sin is death. And we talked about it a few weeks ago, about wages being an obligation. The wages of sin is death, but the gift, which is a free gift of God, is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we have the wages of sin, but we are given the gift of God, which is new life. We know the theory: dead to sin, alive to God. You must put it into practice through right thinking, right lordship, and right actions. Don't be a slave to sin, but rather be a slave to God. The results are righteousness and an eternal life. We're going to conclude with our final song, Jesus, My King, My Wonderful Saviour, as it has those wonderful words: freedom from sin, a wonderful story, all of its stains washed whiter than snow. Jesus has come to live in this temple, all of my days His love I will show.